Yeah, so we're going to gather around the Word tonight and just pray that as we do, it's going to bring life. If you've been maybe visiting us or you've been away on holiday and you're trying to get a frame of reference for where we're at and what we're up to as a congregation, just in the last season, we've been focusing on God and some of His attributes and who He is over the last 5 weeks or so. And last week, James preached on the back of Neil preaching the week before on the aspect of God's grace, of God being so gracious towards us in His Son, just showering us with grace. And at the heart of the gospel, it's being God's grace towards us through His Son, Jesus. And it was such a good news message. It really was. And I was so encouraged by it. We've been looking at aspects of God's character over the last season, asking the question, what is God like? And then how can we live lives that please Him? And tonight, I really want to focus more on that. The second half of that is, how can we begin to live lives that please God? But we're going to get there. A couple of things I need to say before we get there. And just to encourage us, even as we sang that new song tonight, about having like open hearts and just opening who we are to God. That's really what I'm going to speak about tonight, is the importance of us opening our hearts to God and to each other, and then to know those that we don't know, because He's welcomed us. And so I'm going to touch on an aspect this evening of God. God is this God of hospitality, of the fact that because He's opened His hearts towards us, we need to open our hearts to one another. And this message tonight really comes out of a time that we had together as elders. A couple of weeks ago, as an eldership team, we met from across the city seeking God. And during that time, it was clear, as we just looked at, and that's what we do as elders, we're called to oversee and look across the church. And as we looked across the congregations, we realized that this is a value which we need to preach into in this season. So we're going to go there. But before I get there, I want to speak a little bit about this God of hospitality and how good He's been to us, and remind us that He's a holy God. We've looked at that, central aspect of who He is, that He's holy. And from that holiness flows a patience towards humankind. He's patient. He's not tolerant, but He's patient. We live in an age of tolerance, but God's not tolerant. He's not tolerant, certainly, towards sin. He wants to deal with sin in our lives, but He is patient, and He's wanting to bring us to a place of repentance, of the softening of our hearts towards Him. So He's patient, He's merciful, He's obviously loving, He's entirely loving, but He's graceful as well, and this evening He's hospitable. And so Andrea doesn't have my scriptures yet, but here we go, Andrea. So going to start with Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22, because James ended with Ephesians 2 last week, and he ended with the earlier part of chapter 2, Ephesians 2, talking a lot about, it speaks there about God's mercy towards us, His grace towards us, how salvation is not something we earn, it's something which is gifted to us. But then from verse 10 and 11, it goes on and talks about the fact that we now need to respond to this God who has accepted us and embraced us in His Son. As we've accepted His Son, there's now a new way that we need to live. And it goes on in Ephesians 2, and I'm not actually going to read through all of it because it's overwhelming. It uses words like, you can put it up, it uses words like commonwealth. What even is a commonwealth? I don't know. I think if you lived in England, you have some idea. But the Commonwealth of Israel, and it goes on and talks about their living and how they live in relationship with one another. I want to pick up on a couple of words that do come out in Ephesians 2:11 to 22. And it speaks about how in verse 12, it talks about alienation. So you can go back one verse. It talks about alienation there in verse 12. I don't want to go into all the detail of it, but just pull out words. That once we were alienated from God, but through Jesus, He's made a way for us to no longer be aliens to Him, but to be brought near to Him, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. No, we're no longer aliens, but we are now sons and daughters of God. And it says then we are no longer, it says strangers. It speaks about us being strangers to the covenants of promise. Those of us who now have a relationship with Jesus, we're not strangers any longer to the promises of Scripture and to the covenant that God has made for for us with his son, a covenant that he's made that we are grafted into through our relationship with Jesus Christ. So once we were aliens, once we were strangers, but we are no longer. And if we can go down to verse 19, it says in verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you, speaking to the church, are fellow citizens with the saints. So we are now saints. We use that language or that word a lot in the life of Josh. And we are now saints from God's perspective. And we should be saints to one another, actually, which changes the dynamics of our relationships. And we are members of the household of God. I love that. And you know, when we joined Josh Jen years ago, I can remember one of the first meetings we were invited to. Someone said, come out to Sunningdale. We've got a meeting at the lounge. We're going to be having a meeting then. I was like, what's this lounge? We've got a meeting. I was like, I don't know what the guys are going on about. And if you don't know, at our Sunningdale venue, which is now like one of our main venues for Josh Jen, back in the day when Josh Jen was planted, it was known as the lounge. The church should meet together as a household, as a family, at the lounge to receive teaching, to receive input, for us to journey together as a family in God. And so I'm wanting to paint this picture of God being a God of family. He's a father, and because he's a father, he's inviting us into the household. He's inviting us into the living room of his heart to live there and to make our homes there, to dwell in intimacy with him. And so we see that hinted at in Ephesians 2. Yeah, that he's a God, a hospitable God, who through sending his son has now made a way for us to no longer be strangers and aliens towards him, but to be saints, to be members of the household of God, and to be able to call each other brothers and sisters. It's an incredible thing, eh? To have those sort of intimate relationships now within the body of Christ. And so as God has welcomed us into his household, we are commanded in Scripture to welcome other people into our homes. Right? And, you know, to be honest, last Wednesday when we met as an eldership team, and every year, and I think especially this year, we've made an effort to really communicate and perhaps over-communicate with regard to our upcoming 412 conference. We've hit it hard and we've hit it early, right? We've heard a lot about it. But it's been interesting because we've realized that I think as the 412 conference, and for those who are visiting here this evening, I'm using words like 412 conferences, like what in the world am I talking about? Just paint a little picture. So Josh Jen, as a church, we've got many congregations in Cape Town. We're one church, but many congregations. And so we have a unity of love for each other, vision, purpose under God. But then we're part of a much bigger movement of churches, which we speak of as 412. That movement is called 412. And we have partnerships working with other churches. And we make a big deal, actually, of once a year having this time in which we have people literally from all over the world that we work with come into Cape Town, you buy tickets, get on planes, it's expensive, come down and spend a week with us, usually about that long, and then we gather together for this conference for 3 days, a time of apostolic inputs, we're hearing the prophetic, great teaching, and we're getting direction for the year to come and the years to come. And I think we just realized this year as elders that the uptake for people being hosted has been a lot less than previous years. That might have been because we communicated really early on, and people can get tired of communication and be like, you know, I'll sign up at a later stage. But actually, it's probably a case of familiarity. You know, it's the conference again, and it's something that we should do, and we should be hosting people. And so it's my heart, and it's our heart as elders across the city, as we share and we teach and we preach into this, just to remind us of the privilege that we actually have of opening our homes and receiving people from all over South Africa and the nations. And as God has opened his heart towards us, we're called to open our hearts towards others. Just a little story is years ago, we were living in Plumstead. We've just recently moved, obviously, from Plumstead to Sea Point, for those of you who don't know, and we're loving it. Sea Point rocks, and I won't go on and on about it tonight, but come have coffee and we'll chat. But a few years ago, we hosted a couple called Steve and Elsa. We were living in Plumstead. We had, Olivia was, I think, about three, or just over three, and Evan was not yet. No, that can't be right. Evan wasn't born. So Olivia was smaller, and she was giving us absolute agony at that time. She wasn't sleeping. She was crying. She was just going, bananas all the time. I kind of, Lee's with the kids tonight, and I got kind of basically strong-armed Lee into hosting. I was like, darling, I know you don't want to do this, but we've got a host. And I just like strong-armed it in. We're still working through that, but it's okay. But we hosted this couple, Steve and Elsa. Didn't know who they were. They were actually from Oxygen Life, a church that we work with in Port Elizabeth. And what's incredible is in God's providence, in God's like full knowledge, he connected us with Steve and Elsa, because 3 years later, they moved from Oxygen Life to Cape Town, ended up being part of Weinberg, the congregation we were leading, and came onto eldership with us. Incredible, eh? And it was just so awesome to have known them, and so quickly, because we already had a relationship with them, be able to welcome them into the congregation. And so just an example of how, as we open our hearts to God in this way of showing hospitality to others, he does things in our lives that actually we can't even know or foresee at the time. And many of you are nodding your heads, especially I see the hammers, because it's so true. And you've got these relationships now with people all over South Africa. And so I want to shift focus from Ephesians 2. We're going to go to Matthew 25, and look at a portion of scripture from Matthew 25. And towards the end of Matthew, there are a number of parables that are being told as Jesus is beginning to the end of Jesus' life. And they're parables which are about the way we live, but they're also parables marked by the fact that Jesus is about to die and is one day going to be coming back again. And how are we supposed to respond to the fact that this is going to happen? And he tells this parable in Matthew 25 from verse 31. I didn't give you a verse. There we are. We're going to read it off there just to make sure that we use the right translation. I don't know. I don't even know what translation I have here. Matthew 25, verse 31. ESV 2:40. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. So this is a picture of God's judgment one day. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So this is a picture of separation, sheep on one side and goats on the other. Sheeps. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, as we all were. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Let's go on. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. And so it's quite a hardcore portion of scripture. But behind that like pretty intense portion of scripture is this God of hospitality. It's this God who's opened his heart towards us. And because we've experienced his love towards us, he's telling a story here of how actually, because we've experienced his love, we need to open our hearts and love others, and not just love those that we know, but love the strangers and the aliens in our midst. And now that needs to happen in our daily living, in the midst of like us as a church family, but it also needs to happen when we're thinking nations and we're thinking churches, and we're thinking partnering churches, because, I mean, as a church in East London called Crossways, unless you've actually got a connection with someone in that church, like with, who are the guys that lead worship? Daniel and Taryn, I've been there. Unless you've got connection and relationship with people, they mean nothing to you. But that's why we always put such a onus on guys. Let's open our homes and host these guys, because it builds relationship. It makes the partnership real. Friendships formed. You go hiking together. You pray together. God, you encounter God together. It's an amazing just experience of opening your heart. And so I'm going to focus on verse 35. If we can put verse 35 up. And as we look at this portion of scripture and verse 35 of chapter 25, and the preceding parable is a parable that precedes this. That parable is all about faithfulness. And so it's picking up on the same theme in this parable, faithfulness to God. Are we being faithful in the way that we're supposed to be living? And so, verse 35 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food." And just to pick up firstly on that I, hospitality is firstly something we do for, something we do for Jesus. It's an act of worship, a beautiful time of worship, stunning. But our worship's not just supposed to be words, it's supposed to be living. And so it's an act of worship. It's something we do for Jesus in response to his opening his heart to us. It says, "For I was hungry." He personalizes it. And the people that we're going to be hosting, and I want to say we moved house. And in the moving home, I'd kind of like forgotten, honestly, just being honest, I'd forgotten about the hosting aspect because I'd heard it a few times. I was like, I need to sign up for it. But in typical Cape Town fashion, I only signed up on the last day when the sign up was open. And that's because you, Louis, posted a message to your community, I think. And I was like, oh, Jesus. And then, signed up and look forward to hosting. But the people we're going to be hosting are brothers and sisters in the faith. They're saints. They are people loved by Jesus. They may be strangers, but actually they are saints and they are brothers and sisters in the faith. And before we call to love others, we are first called to love each other within the life of the church, right? Okay. So we see in verse 35, "For I was hungry," something we do for Jesus. And then secondly, clearly in spiritual scripture, it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food." I was thirsty. James was saying earlier how thirsty he was. He actually missed a meeting today because he was dehydrated, right? "You didn't drink enough, bro." And I know, when I'm dehydrated, you don't want to know me. I'm horrible. Got a headache, can't function. Anyway, hungry, food, thirsty, drink, stranger, welcoming. Yeah, and it's a practical action that hospitality and hosting is, it's something in the heart, but it's something we practically do. And for those of you who recently came onto membership in Josh Jen, I know Russell prayed kind of differently at our last gathering, but he just made space at the end of praying and receiving people into membership in Josh Jen and remembered our famous line, "Hey, what's in your fridge, dear vault, is in mine. And what's in my fridge is in yours. So when you come to my home for the foundations course, bro, don't even think about it. You can just go straight to the fridge, open it and go, rad. It's hospitality. Seriously. Just don't touch my..." I'll tell you, I've got a few things that you mustn't touch. Okay. No, really. Yeah. Anyway, so firstly, it's something we do for Jesus. Secondly, it's a practical action of feeding, of welcoming, of sitting down, of fellowshipping. And as much as it's done for the saints, it's also done for the least of these. And, hosting can be uncomfortable sometimes, particularly if you do like a generic sign-up. Some of us host and we know in advance who we're going to be hosting, and we let the office know, our head office, our administrators. We say, "We're going to be hosting, there's this family we know in Johannesburg, we've got a relationship with them," and we let them know. Some of us, we did a generic sign-up this year. Put our name on a list, I don't know who I'm going to get. And the point is, in not knowing who you're going to get, maybe you're going to get someone that actually you might struggle to relate to. Might be something which is actually a little bit awkward or difficult, but you know what? That's awesome. Because you're going to get to love that person like Jesus loves them. Outside of your comfort zone, looking over a fence, looking through things, finding the heart of the person and building relationship. So we see in this portion of scripture, it's something done for the least of these. Can't remember where that is. Anyway, in verse 40, I think, it says something done for the least of these, I think. And so we are called not just to love those who are brothers and sisters that we know well, but we're called to love those who are also strangers. And you know, as I say that, I'm reminded that a number of years ago when I was on staff at our previous church, and this was a long time ago, this was like 13, 14 years ago, it was a xenophobia crisis in Cape Town, the first one. There had been two, but it was the first one and it was like the major one. And we were leadership in a church down in the Constantia area of Cape Town, and people just fled. The foreigners fled the townships and the informal settlements in that area, so much so that thousands of them ended up living on the Porter Estate, which is right next to the Range. If you know where the Range is, Constantia, anywhere, a certain venue, it has a market. Lived in an estate there. And so the churches in that area all had to rise up and just love people that we never thought of we'd need to love before. And it's been incredible, actually, to see how many of the churches in the southern suburbs have been changed by that. And I know Josh Chen did something very similar with many who had to flee Dunoon going back then and then the last few years. But I was on staff at this church, and being on staff at that church, I suddenly got given this responsibility to care for 8 or 9 people from Africa. They were Rwandans and Burundians, and it was hectic, because I didn't know them. We put them up in a house that we owned across the road from our church, and I had responsibility for caring for them. And so it drew in some of the young adults that I was working with at that time, and boy, it challenged us. One of the ladies had been raped. One of the guys had TB, serious TB. Like, bro, you are so sick, we need to get you to the hospital, like, now, type of situation. And then just all the other issues that came with the fact that they'd experienced violence towards them. Loving the stranger. It was deeply uncomfortable, but it was something that changed my life forever. And so we're called to love even strangers. Okay. And then finally, and I'm about to land, we see in this portion of scripture from verse 31 through until 40, especially in verse 35, but this one says in verse 34, that it's something that we do because we know that it has eternal significance. I read verse 34. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And so he's handing out reward here. He's handing out reward to the sheep that have been like him, who've loved like him. Not the goats. Goats always do their own thing. Anyone who's been into Africa, you know that. Goats on top of 4x4s, houses, walls, they're everywhere. Sheep, you can line up. Goats, you can't. That's why he separates the goats from the sheep. Sheep know his voice. And so he's saying to the sheep, "You've been like me, I'm honoring you. And your honor is to inherit the kingdom. It's something eternal that we receive because we've honored him with something which is eternal. To love those that he loves. And in loving them, hopefully welcoming them into the kingdom in a deeper and richer way, so that they can join and receive the inheritance that we have already in Christ." Does that make sense? And so something in eternity awaits those who are hospitable towards Jesus. Hospitable firstly towards saints, those brothers and sisters in the household of God, even from other churches. But so often, especially at conference time and partnership time, many of those saints are strangers. And we need to, even though they are strangers, receive them and welcome them into our homes. As Jesus loved us, as the Father loved us, as he opened his heart towards us, we are called to open our hearts and our lives towards others. And so I think, having said that this evening, there needs to be a moment of reflection, actually, and just thinking on our own lives. To those of you who, I just want to honor those who have signed up to host people later this year in September and say, well done. For those of you who haven't, we're not trying to like put a heavy on you, but we're trying to remind us here of the heart of God. And that if somehow we've forgotten what a beautiful opportunity this is, or what a beautiful treasure it is for us to rediscover it. I want to say, let's rediscover it before September, hey? Let's rediscover it like tomorrow. And maybe the next day and the next day. There's an opportunity literally to welcome each other into our homes and our lives tonight and moving forward. And so, Neil, I can see you maybe want to say something. If you do, okay. If you do, just jump in, bro. Okay. Firstly, to those of us in response this evening, if you're a believer tonight, you guys can come up because I want us to sing that song. If you don't mind, please. It'd be awesome if you can come up. Firstly, to the believers. You know, like, as I've been preaching tonight, you might realize, Ross, I've missed this, actually. Like, in the midst of everything that's going on, I've totally missed this. And it's an opportunity tonight not to, like, externally conform and go like, oh, I've got to do this now. But go, no, God, won't you open my heart to this truth again? Won't you let me rediscover some of my first love in this area? And I want to encourage us with that portion of scripture where it says, like, don't be like a wicked, lazy servant as well. Be good and be faithful. There's a faithfulness that we need to exercise in this area. So let's just focus. Guys who here who are believers, who are part of this household, who are on a journey with us, seriously, just use this time as we sing in a moment, just to look at your hearts. Where am I at? Have I forgotten this? And if this is a truth that you need to rediscover, embrace God's mercy towards you tonight. His grace. Accept it. Receive it. Let your heart be opened again. And then get on living. Invite someone, maybe even in the life of the church that you've never met before, had time with before, into your home and say, come this week and hang out with me. And let's have a meal together. And then for the people visiting us tonight, or don't know everyone's hearts tonight, only God knows people's hearts truly and completely. Is, you know, as you hear this tonight, actually the most important thing for each one of us is to be welcomed into the presence of God. We can do all the welcoming of other people that we want, but if we're not firstly welcomed into the presence of God, that's not really what he wants. He wants us firstly in his presence. And there's an opportunity, even as God's been ministering to us tonight, to respond and say, God, I see that your heart towards me is open through your Son, Jesus Christ, and to respond to him. And to soften your heart, and to bring your heart, and to be welcomed into his presence, and to no longer be a stranger or an alien in God's presence, but to be accepted, to come into his household, to be welcomed into the lounge of his heart, and to live there, to be there, and to experience his presence and his love towards you.